At the Commonwealth Policy Foundation, we try to approach the issues of life, marriage, religious liberty, and fiscal integrity from a biblical perspective that promotes thoughtfulness and kindness. We work with political leaders and concerned citizens from all across the state. To stay informed, visit commonwealthmatters.org and sign up for our e-newsletter. The Commonwealth Policy Foundation is a nonprofit organization that only exists because of friends like you. Thanks for tuning in to The Commonwealth Matters.
Welcome to The Commonwealth Matters. The Kentucky legislature recently passed the Fairness in Women's Sports Act this past legislative session. It's a bill that keeps transgender males off of the women's sports teams from fifth through college level competition. But it did not reach the national level, where NCAA allows transgender males to compete with women. For the University of Kentucky swimmer Riley Gaines, the issue isn't theoretical. It's personal, as she swam against Leah Thomas, the University of Pennsylvania swimmer who tied Gaines for fifth place in the 200-meter freestyle this last spring at the national championships. And joining us today for the Commonwealth Matters, we are honored to have Riley Gaines. Riley, welcome.
Hi, I just want to thank you so much for having me on and giving me the opportunity to speak and kind of tell my story. I'm really appreciative.
And I appreciate you taking the time. You know, you caught my attention early on in the General Assembly session as you came to the state legislature to share your perspective on this issue. And you recently caught our attention as you spoke out against Leah Thomas, the male swimmer who tied you for fifth place in the 200 freestyle. You seemed like one of the few people who was willing to speak out on this. I mean, it's a tough issue, right? You don't want to make waves. Generally, we just want to stay in our lane as human beings and just do what we're doing. But you did speak out. Tell us what led to that.
So honestly, this whole thing, you're exactly right. You kind of wait for someone to speak up. It's exactly what I was doing initially. You get to this kind of complacency thinking, someone is bound to speak out about this. This is madness. And you go through this weird phase thinking, my story's not good enough, blah, blah, blah. But finally, it got to the point where I realized, you know, it's someone has to do it and no one is. And so I guess that person is me. And I think God kind of put me in the right place at the right time and the circumstances behind what happened in regards to our tie and how the NCAA gave Thomas the trophy and kind of that preferential treatment there and literally told me that they had to give Thomas the trophy and that mine would come in the mail, but Thomas had to have it for photo purposes. Once this happened and I realized we weren't only, you know, being forced to compete against men, we were being put on the back burner to men. And that's when it's something that I became extremely passionate about. Obviously, we all saw what was wrong with it in the beginning, but once that happened to me, I realized I have the story and I have the passion. And I also have just had so much support from so many people in Kentucky, so many people across the university, especially within the athletic department, which I've realized is a complete anomaly. And so for that, I'm extremely grateful.
So I want to go back to what you just said about that fifth place trophy at the national championships. I read the account of what happened when you, I guess your hand touched the edge of the pool and you looked over and it said fifth. And then you also noticed that Leah Thomas had fifth as well. When it came to awarding the trophy, they decided to give it to him instead of letting maybe both of you hold it for the photo op. They simply gave it to him. Is that correct?
We only have one fifth place trophy. I'm relatively understanding because they don't account for ties in swimming. It's extremely rare. But then when I questioned them, you know, I was like, that's cool, but why are you adamant on Thomas having it? And they first said, you know, we're just doing this based off chronological order. And so I'm thinking to myself, okay, what are we being chronological about? And so I asked them, I was like, can you explain that to me? And they were like, well, Thomas needs to hold it for photo purposes. Good job. Yours will come in the mail. You can pose with the sixth place trophy. And so once that happened, it was just like, I was mind blown. I was mind blown the whole time. But when that happened and I really realized what was actually occurring here, it just took me completely aback.
You had tweeted recently about Leah Thomas, the male swimmer who has swum with women at University of Pennsylvania, said this, being the real girl in that photo and also the University of Kentucky's nominee for the NCAA Women of the Year, this is yet another slap in the face to women. first a female national title, and now nominated for the Pinnacle Award in Collegiate Athletics, the NCAA has made this award worthless. And that was in response to Leah Thomas being nominated by his school for the Female Athlete of the Year. Of course, you were nominated by the University of Kentucky. High honor. You spent your career at University of Kentucky working hard to achieve that honor, and it didn't go well with you when you learned what that a male was nominated for that award as well.
Right. This is an award that takes into account so many things. You know, your service, your leadership, your character, your academics, your athletics. And so it's something I'd set out to do, not win this award, but just be a well-rounded person throughout my time in college. And so I was SEC Scholar Athlete of the Year, SEC Community Service Leader of the Year, all kinds of different accolades that don't have anything to do with athletics. And so when I found out a month ago that I was nominated for this award, I was thrilled. I mean, what a high honor, especially coming from an athletic department with athletes like Abby Steiner, who's a U.S. champion, or Ryan Howard, who's the number one WNBA pick. And so Understanding that I come from, that I was chosen from such an amazing athletic department, I was thrilled. And then after the application process, like how it works is you get nominated by your school and then you do an application, and then the NCAA will basically approve or deny your application. And so I found out about a couple days ago, a week ago, that Thomas was also nominated for Woman of the Year. I don't know if a lot of people know, but there's about 250,000 female athletes across all sports and all divisions in the NCAA, and only about 500 get nominated. And so for Thomas to take up one of those spots, it is exactly what I said. It devalued the award to me. Clearly, you know, it was almost like a pawn. Thomas is a pawn here. And I think it was a bit strategic that, you know, Kentucky nominated me as well. And so it's just a bit crazy. And then exactly like I said, it is a bit worthless.
As you pointed out, the NCAA female student athlete of the year distinguishes themselves through academic achievement, athletic excellence, service, and leadership. And you really fit the bill for all of that. I'd like to go over some of your accomplishments while swimming for the University of Kentucky. You ended your career as a Wildcat as one of the most decorated swimmers in program history. You were named to the All-SEC first team. You broke the SEC meet and conference record in the 200 fly at the SEC championships en route to earning gold. You successfully defended your gold medal in the 200 free. You also took fourth in the 100 free. All three of your individual events at SEC championships were school records. You were in silver in the 800 free relay. I'm going to just stop right there because you actually have a couple other paragraphs of achievements, but you put in a lot of hard work in achieving these awards, but also you have been a top scholar academically, and you have been involved by serving your community as well. And I want to ask you this, after putting in all that hard work and then having the honor of being nominated for NCAA Female Athlete of the Year, what do you think it tells other women like you who've dedicated themselves and put in this hard work and then they might realize that a man could step into their field and get this award? Do you think the NCAA is sending the wrong message?
For sure. It completely discouraged female athletes. You know, you get to a point where you see things like this happen and you think to yourself, why even bother? Because a man can clearly do it better. And so, just like you said, that's not only in regards to athletics where it's blatantly obvious that men are better than females. If they're giving, you know, males the same treatment in regards to things other than athletics, you know, what's the point? I think it's totally discouraging to see this, especially being from someone who I've essentially dedicated my whole life, especially my past 4 years at UK, to an organization like the NCAA, and to have them completely turn their back and show their true priorities, it's extremely eye-opening.
Have you been hearing from your peers that you've swam against in other schools or others across the country who are wondering what's going on with the NCAA, or maybe some that are having second thoughts about swimming at the college level. What are you hearing from people? Because you are a high-profile figure. I know you're hearing from people. What are you hearing?
So I know a lot of people in my position across different conferences, especially the girls who are at NCAAs and got to witness this kind of happen, kind of unfold before their eyes. They're threatened. They're intimidated. They're told they can't speak out or they won't get a job. They're told they can lose their athletic scholarship. You know, no future career will want them, which is so not the case that I've experienced. I've had so much support and so many job opportunities and so many different things come across my way because I am being vocal about this because it's something that matters. But there's a lot of people trying to shut this down. And that's why I couldn't be more grateful that I chose the University of Kentucky, and not just because I developed so much as a person and an athlete and a student here. They've given me full support, which I think speaks volumes on our school, especially compared to the Ivy League, where they're sending emails. I actually have an email from an Ivy League swimmer sent this to me that says, sent by the Ivy League to their athletes, that says, if they feel uncomfortable with a male in the locker room sharing that same space, they should seek counseling. And so to have that happen, it's just mind-blowing. How have we gotten to this point that if you feel uncomfortable being in a space where, you know, you should be able to feel vulnerable seeing male parts, being told that you should be the one to seek counseling? Yeah. It's just crazy.
So let's talk about that. A lot of people are not aware that during the NCAA championships, Leah Thomas, the male from UPenn, was allowed to use the women's locker room. And we were told early on, by the way, not to worry about it, that the bathroom issue, locker room issue, those are distractions. Transgender males just want to compete against women. But that was not the case with you, was it?
No. We shared a locker room. Obviously, it was an all-females meet, and so there wasn't even a male locker room option. They converted the male locker room to female locker room to give the girls there more space to change, and so there wasn't even a male option. And so we weren't forewarned necessarily, so we weren't sure what to expect. We knew we'd be competing together, but we were not given any sort of forewarning, and so it's not something we consented to, and I know there were girls there. Actually, I talked with a girl who had previously been through sexual assault. She had been sexual assaulted, and being in that same space with someone who has those different parts, it affected her. It affected all of us. It's extremely uncomfortable. But then again, we were kind of in a place like, who do we complain to? What do we say? Because this all happened very discreetly, very kind of behind the scenes. And so finally, once it was happening, we didn't even know what to do, because think about it, we're 18 to 22 year old girls. It's kind of this weird position where you don't know what to do. You don't know what to say. And so I am hoping by me speaking out, it's giving more people an outlet to at least realize they're not alone, which I've talked to so many girls who swam there and I realize I'm not alone, but just getting that voice out there, it's extremely important.
Riley, were you able to talk to your coaches at the University of Kentucky about your discomfort and that you didn't think it was appropriate to have males in the female locker rooms? Was this something that happened? I know you didn't have a lot of chance to prepare for this, but eventually did you bring this up? And maybe did other team members bring this up to the coaches as well?
Yeah, for sure. It's all we talked about all meet. It was a complete distraction. Exactly like you said, that's exactly what it was. There was about 7 American records broken at that meet, but the general public didn't hear a single thing about these amazing female athletes, the best in American history, you know, breaking American records, because it was consumed by this topic, which, like you said, distraction. And that's exactly what it was to all of us at the meet swimming as well. There were protesters there. There was media there. And it's something that, you know, obviously the swimming world has never really had to deal with. And so having all of that there, it was just really distracting. That's really the only way, the only word, kind of how to phrase it.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Riley Gaines. She is a swimmer, former swimmer at the University of Kentucky, competed against male swimmer from University of Pennsylvania and we're talking about transgender males joining girls' sports teams. Riley, at the Commonwealth Policy Center, we address the issues of the day from a biblical worldview, and it starts with the idea that there's a creator who makes male and female in his image. Male is a certain biology, certain makeup. There's female. God made females a certain way. Both are equal in value and equal in worth, and we believe that also those differences necessitate that there should be something like a girls' sports teams or girls' locker rooms or restrooms, and yet the NCAA has rejected this as a policy. And I would say that even our universities, and I'm not, this is not a broad brushstroke against universities, but the universities in general in this country are embracing the idea that there really is no difference between male or female. And again, bringing it home to you, you experience this not just swimming, but in the locker room as well. What would you, if you had a chance to sit down with a university president, Eli Capiluto, or even go higher than that, an official at the NCAA level, athletics competition committee, something like that, what would you say to them about males competing against women? If there's any words of wisdom or insight, what would you share with them?
I think that denying males and females have, you know, males have an advantage over females, especially when it comes to athletics, is, you know, defying logic, it's defying reason, science, and quite frankly, common sense. And I think, you know, people are so scared of not appeasing the smallest percentage. I mean, if you think about it, females make up, let's say, about 50% of the population across the entire world. And so we're trying to appease a group of people who might be the most outspoken, but it can't outweigh the other side of it. And so I just think there's a lot of misconception there. But taking it from someone who has personal experience, someone who saw the tears shed by these 9th and 17th place finishers who didn't get named an All-American, who saw the discomfort in the locker room, who got to hear the gruntles of anger and frustration at that meet, it's completely wrong, it's completely unfair, and it's blatantly obvious.
What's it going to take to get the NCAA's attention to change this policy back to where it was before males began competing against females?
I'm not sure. I keep getting proven wrong by the NCAA, first allowing Thomas to compete, and then the NCAA Woman of the Year. And so I'm not sure what it will take, but I do want to encourage everyone to use their voice regardless of what side you even fall on. I think it's important for, if you have a voice, use it. I think that can really show who the true majority is, but it's going to be especially hard with the Biden administration basically rewriting Title IX to have sex now mean gender identity. Under this new administration, this new policy, it is actually sexual assault to refer to someone as the wrong pronouns, but it's not sexual assault to have, you know, the opposite body parts in an opposite locker room. Mm. And so these kind of things, it just puts you in kind of this position, like exactly what you said, what will it take? Who do you have to talk to? Who do you have to, you know, get the message to, that this is not normal and it's blatantly obvious that it's wrong? It's cheating.
Riley, do you think there's a silent majority out there that agree with you and agree that it's wrong for men to compete against women and agree that it's wrong for men to be in the female locker room and they're just afraid to speak on this issue?
Most definitely. They're intimidated. The media wants you to think that if you speak out, you'll be canceled. But like I mentioned, I've received none of that. I mean, I can't say none. Obviously, you'll have a couple of negative comments, but what I've received in support is tenfold. And I don't think it even has to be a female athlete speaking out. You could be not an athlete. You could be a male. You could be a parent, a grandparent, a young athlete. And so just any voice. I think people are often thinking, oh, I'm not a female athlete. My opinion doesn't matter. But it does. It really does.
Riley, we had talked off the air about your faith convictions leading you to say something. Do you want to say how did that play into you finally speaking out onto this? How did that your beliefs, your values, your faith conviction lead you to say something about this policy?
Yeah, so obviously I'm a Christian. I grew up Church of Christ. And so I'm pretty involved in that way. And so I pray all the time, every night before bed, every morning when I wake up. And so, you know, going into the meet, it's something that I had talked to God about, like, what will this look like? You know, how will this unfold? And so when we tied and that situation kind of presented itself, I kind of realized, you know, this is God putting me in this position to where I'm just not someone who's afraid to say something, but it's given me kind of the confidence and the background to really have a valid argument here. And so along with talking to him, I have such a supportive family. Like I said, the school, my husband, I just got married. And so having all these different support systems, it really helped and encouraged me.
That's great. That's great. What would you, and you have been an inspiration to so many, including me, when I first learned of you taking a stand. By the way, we'd love to have you come to a bill signing ceremony for the Fairness in Women's Sports Act that I had mentioned earlier. The state legislature passed it into law. Secretary of State Michael Adams is signing it along with the lead sponsor, Robbie Mills, who we're going to have on the program after the break. And we'd love to have you come and join us if you can in the Kentucky Capitol. That's going to be later in August. So hopefully you can make it then.
Oh, that sounds incredible. And Robbie Mills is awesome. I met him earlier in the year, and he's just been incredible. I've had so many people within the Kentucky legislature who have been so incredible to me and so supportive. They checked in on me multiple times, and that goes a really long way. So you guys are incredible.
That's great. Well, Riley Gaines, you are incredible. If I had a vote that I could cast for NCAA Women Athlete of the Year, I would vote for you. You've got my vote.
Oh, well, thank you.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us. God bless you, and you keep up the good work.
Yes, I appreciate it.
Hi, Richard Nelson here with the Commonwealth Policy Center. It's clear that the news media isn't always fair. In fact, there's lots of far-left bias and political gamesmanship. No surprise there. So if you're looking for a perspective that's grounded in the truth of Scripture and our nation's founding principles, then get plugged into CPC's resources. Sign up for our e-newsletter at CommonwealthPolicyCenter.org. You can also follow us on Facebook at Commonwealth Policy Center, and we're on Twitter at CPC4Kentucky. Welcome to the Commonwealth Matters. I'm Richard Nelson, Executive Director of CPC, back with you for this last segment. It was so good to hear from Riley Gaines, former UK star swimmer, and now we're going to talk with a legislator who was motivated in part by Riley and her peers, other women who have had to compete against men in collegiate sports. Joining us on this segment is State Senator Robbie Mills from Henderson. Senator Mills, welcome back to the Commonwealth Matters.
Hello, Richard. Glad to be on. Thank you.
Hey, you've been on this program a number of times, and we've talked about Save Women's Sports along with other issues. And one of the things that comes to mind just out of the gate is, of course, many of the listeners know that you and I have been friends for years. We've worked on different projects together. Of course, you were one of the founding board members of the Commonwealth Policy Center, and your heart is in seeing a culture restored where values that are honoring to God and values that really make for maximum human flourishing are instituted in our public arenas, whether it's local government, state government is where you're serving right now. But one of the things that comes to mind, Senator Mills, is that this was an uphill battle. A few years ago, the Save Women's Sports Act wasn't moving anywhere in the legislature. There were only a couple of states that had enacted it. And you picked up the ball, so to speak, and you ran with it. And is this encouraging to you? This is what I got to ask. Is it encouraging you to see good legislation enacted like this bill? Is it encouraging? Should it be encouraging to us as well?
It is. I ran this bill or filed it the last 3 years, and you know, we hit brick walls the previous 2 years, and this year it picked up steam, and I think it's something for conservative folks to be glad about, to feel like that their voice is being heard. I think maybe it took a while for their concerns to make it, you know, through the ranks and through leadership and things of that nature. But you know, culture has moved dramatically to the left in the last year, year and a half. And I think this particular issue is just really kind of a road too far. And I mean, it's really kind of a straw that broke the camel's back on several liberal issues that have been floating around Frankfurt and around the nation. But it was great to be able to stand up for women and women's sports and all the things that they've fought for the last 40 and 50 years, and to be able to actually put something on the books that says, you know, men can't compete against women in sports.
You know, I think of the biblical basis for this. You know, you and I are both active in our churches, our respective churches, and in the first book of the Bible, it says that God made them male and female. There's a distinctness about male and female, and it seems to me that whether or not you go to church, this is becoming very clear to everybody in our culture, right? And that's why we have women's sports, and that's why there's women's restrooms and locker rooms. And this is an opportunity to, I think, maybe for the church, so to speak. And I know that's not right in your lane. You're serving in the state Senate. But maybe there's an opportunity for the church here to speak to these issues. Would you say, what would you say to pastors, I guess, on issues like this of human sexuality and transgenderism and the marriage issue? What would be your word to pastors?
I think that pastors just need not be intimidated by cancel culture and folks. You know, there's a lot of loud voices out there, but my experience over the last 3 years is that a majority of Kentuckians believe that women, there is a difference between a man and a woman, and that is biological. It's not an opinion, but it's actually factual and based on biological. And competing, men competing against women is one of those easy calls, a distinctive line that there's an unfair disadvantage. Normal folks that have common sense can actually see that.
I need to thank you for your leadership on this bill in the state Senate. It did pass by wide margins in both the House and Senate. Unfortunately, Governor Andy Beshear vetoed it, but that was overridden handily by the state legislature. Secretary of State Michael Adams is doing a ceremonial bill signing on August the 22nd, and you're going to be present along with several other legislators, and I'm very much looking forward to joining you for that.